searching podcasts for The Daily Perspective. Okay, The Daily Perspective podcast coming up.
The Democrat Party has become too extreme to be trusted with power. Their radical policies are a danger to your family and to your country.
Hello and welcome into this Friday edition of the Daily Perspective podcast. Mark Congleton here. I'm your sometimes humble host for this hour of observation, insight, and absurdity. Hoping that you are happy that today is your last day of work before the weekend. Congratulations, you've made it through another week. And that's a good thing. Hopefully you have great plans for the weekend. You will be spending some time with family, friends, pets, hobbies, yard work, whatever, and forgetting about the lunacy that's going on in Washington, D.C. Oddly enough, they will be working tomorrow. I don't know if you know that, but the Republicans get their shot beginning, is it today or is it tomorrow? I'm losing track of it. I'm just paying enough attention to what's going on to keep talking about it here as we get together, because we've been listening for days now. We've been listening to Democrats lie. We've been listening to them mischaracterize. We've been listening to them misrepresent. And we've been listening to Adam Schiff basically create things out of whole cloth, making imaginary cases for what they're talking about. It's just ridiculous. They've ignored the legal system. They've ignored the way things work and just plowed forward, determined that they're in the right and that they're going to have their way. And that is typical behavior for progressives. That's how things work. That's their story, and they're sticking to it. But honestly, the weekend is here. So let's just set all that aside and enjoy ourselves. The weekend is here. I told you yesterday I'll be doing a little traveling this weekend, driving from the Birmingham area down to Pensacola, Florida, doing some family visiting. And I'll be back for Monday, but we'll be taking the drive down today and then coming back Sunday. And then hoping to enjoy visits with some family members we haven't seen for a while, enjoy some good fresh Gulf Coast seafood, and just basically shake it all off and relax for a bit. And that's a good thing. And I hope you can do the same sort of thing this weekend. Well, today, President Trump will be speaching at the March for Life. He's the first president ever to do so. It's interesting to see the reaction in the media and in social media. The one that struck me was, oh, he's just doing this to pander to that that anti-abortion base he's got. It's called pro-life, by the way, not anti-abortion. It's pro-life. He is speaking to them because he is the most pro-life president I think we've ever had. He's appointed pro-life justices across the country. He is working on pro-life legislation. He's doing all kinds of things for pro-life causes because intelligent people, truly honest, intelligent people, understand that we're dealing with life here, not convenience. And that's really, if you're honest, what abortion all boils down to.
Oh, but what about the life of the mother or rape or incest?
The percentages of abortions that are actually done in America today, the percentage of them for the life of the mother or for rape or incest is so tiny, it's hard to measure. In fact, there are reputable people in the medical field who will tell you that the whole life of the mother thing has never, ever been a case. So that's all just smoke. The progressive push for abortion rights is just one more example of political heroism. Politicians playing the hero for people who make poor life choices. The percentage of abortions for rape or incest is microscopic. Almost all are for convenience. So politicians are fighting for the power to absolve women of bad decisions, for the most part. When you see pro-choice activists in the news, on social media, you see these pictures from time to time that people post. They're all wearing t-shirts and carrying banners and signs, which don't say anything positive about life. It's all me, 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 my body, my choice, me, 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 me. And the reason that all falls apart is because we're not talking about your body. We're talking about the body of the person who is growing inside of your body. That's who we're talking about protecting from your poor decisions. And the argument, oh God, here's another one. The argument that these people are against abortion. They're also against contraception, sex education, and when they start adopting these babies, then we'll listen to them talk. Well, guess what? The line for adopting those babies is the longest line ever. There are waiting lists. So that argument is bogus. And the other arguments, conservatives don't care about, really, they don't mind sex ed. They mind what is taught in sex ed. Because what's being taught in sex ed in schools today is not sex ed, it's perversion ed. We don't want our children learning about that kind of stuff from people outside the home. If they have questions, we want them to talk to us. And as far as contraception is concerned, don't you think you'd better start using it and stop aborting babies before you talk to anybody about contraception? That's all I got to say. But President Trump will be speaking at the March for Life. And that's a good thing. Thank you, President Trump, for standing up for what is right. Did you see that there is now a proposed rule that would bar most emotional support animals from airplanes? This is beautiful. It's on PJ Media. Rick Moran wrote this article. The Transportation Department is proposing a new rule that would give airlines the leeway to classify certain emotional support animals as pets, thus allowing the companies to deny them as a seat on an aircraft. The industry has been complaining for years that a wide variety of exotic, even ridiculous animals has been declared by their owners as emotional support animals, forcing the airlines to accommodate them. By being given the power to reclassify the animals as pets, companies can more easily control the practice. CNN says it would continue to require airlines to accommodate service animals, but restrict that category to dogs only. The current regulations allow a limited list of service animal species, including miniature horses. The department is considering expanding the proposal to allow miniature horses, but is concerned they are less agile in the confined spaces of an aircraft, according to a Transportation Department official who briefed reporters Wednesday morning. The proliferation of websites selling a doctor's certification that a passenger requires an emotional support animal has enabled people who are not truly in need of animal assistance to abuse the rules and evade airline policies regarding animals in the cabin, so say the Airlines for America industry group. Did you know that was happening? That there are websites popping up all over the web selling doctor's certifications for the requirement of an emotional support animal? You can go online and buy the certification and then take your pet tarantula on the plane. That's my emotional support animal. Whew. Sarah Nelson, president of the Association of Flight Attendants, CWA, says the days of Noah's Ark in the air are hopefully coming to an end. Indeed, the list of bizarre animals used for emotional support makes a mockery of the practice. Here we go. Turkeys. Yes, turkeys. These therapeutic birds are allowed to fly in a purchased airline seat with their handler under the Air Carrier Access Act. Normally, Delta doesn't allow certain animals in the cabin, but this turkey got VIP access. There was a kangaroo. American Airlines has had not one, but two emotional support kangaroos board their planes. One kangaroo sat in their own first class seat, while another spent the flight curled up on the lap of their owner. Several flight attendants have reported seeing support turtles on their flights. One even recounted a time where she found an emotional support turtle suctioned to the airplane window so they had a better view. That's awesome. Can you imagine being the turtle whose entire life is spent on the floor, on the ground, in the wild, working its way through grass and weeds and things like that, and then thinking that they would like to see the world from 10,000 feet? Oh, somebody's meds need to be checked. One woman, 21-year-old Jennifer Goldberg, said she brought her emotional support hedgehog to many stressful situations, like, of course, flying. Delta made an exception for the roly-poly little guy. Now, the list is mind-boggling. Goldfish, peacocks, hamsters, snakes on a plane. Snakes, along with miniature horses and llamas. I don't mind most animals. The writer of the article says, I don't mind most animals, but I think I'd demand a refund from the airline if they put me next to a horse, miniature or not. I'm not belittling emotional support animals in general. Most of our dog and cat companions are wonderful for emotional support. Nor am I underplaying the genuine fear some people have of flying. My beef is with those who use that supposed fear as an excuse to indulge their fetishistic desire for attention. A goldfish is not an emotional support animal, no matter how many quack doctor's notes you have saying otherwise. It's a good, common-sense proposal to end the open-end practice of flying all sorts of creatures under the guise of emotional support. So, what's that you got in your pocket?
It's my emotional support critter.
Really? I don't want to see it. Trust me. No, I don't. Please leave it in your pocket. If you call it an emotional support critter, I'm not inclined to be curious beyond that. No thanks. No, seriously, a squirrel, sir? An emotional support squirrel? Why does the word nuts come to mind? We've had so many stories over the last few years about people trying to pass things off as emotional support animals. I mean, we've had everything from pot-bellied pigs to kangaroos to it's all kinds of things. And I know that people working in the airlines are relieved. I mean, even if you do buy a seat for this animal, come on, a peacock? Seriously? A peacock. An emotional support peacock. Oh, my. I think some issues go deeper than the surface, do they not? Oh, man. Oh, another issue that goes deeper than the surface is a certain day part on Fox News. A lot of people who were watching Fox News were accustomed to changing the channel at 3 p.m. Eastern. Shepard Smith, who hosted that time slot for years, was never really popular with conservatives due to his overtly liberal politics. It seems those people aren't changing the channel anymore, though. Bill Hemmer took over that slot this week, and he immediately delivered a huge boost in ratings. According to Town Hall, Bill Hemmer's new program had a double-digit increase over Shepard Smith's show. Fox News anchor Bill Hemmer's new show on the channel, Bill Hemmer Reports, that's what it's called, it's off to a strong start after he was tapped to replace former anchor Shepard Smith for the 3 p.m. hour. The show's first episode premiered Monday. In addition to beating out CNN and MSNBC for the same hour, Hemmer's new show had double-digit increases from the 2019 average when Smith hosted. Bill Hemmer Reports had 1.8 million total viewers, netting 269,000 viewers in the 25 to 54 age demo. CNN Newsroom with Brooke Baldwin, 867,000 total voters, as opposed to the 1.8 million. MSNBC Live with Ali Vesey, about a million. That's an outstanding difference, really. Management at Fox has got to be pleased with their decision. The fact that Hemmer also beat the competition is an added bonus. Fox News, what's going to premiere? There we go. He said, I'm very happy to start this year, this next chapter with you at home. We won't solve the world's issues in an hour, but over time we will understand them better. I call it the whole picture. We'll be fast and we'll try to be first, but we'll focus on being fair. In the end, the whole picture takes time, but over time, we hope to see you around here more often. And that's our word. And based on this outcome, it's a wonder Fox didn't make this change before now. You know, people have been complaining about Shepard Smith for a long time. The change was way overdue. Way overdue. And congrats to Bill Hemmer. From what I have seen, everybody who works at Fox News just adores the guy. They have nothing bad to say about him. They only have good things to say about him. They love working with him, and they just love him. So, as they say, it couldn't have happened to a nicer guy. Kudos to Bill Hemmer. Congratulations on the new show. And I hope the numbers hold up for you. I really do. Good for them. More after the break, as this Friday edition of the Daily Perspective continues.
There is a fine line between genius and madness.
I think we see that every day, don't we? We can go back to the emotional support animal story. You gotta admit that sticking a turtle to the window is kind of genius. I wanted him to get a better view. In the meantime, the turtle is closed up in his shell, having some sort of a mental breakdown himself. Oh, man. It is the Friday edition of the Daily Perspective, and I hope you're looking forward to a great weekend. Oh, man. It is... Let's see. Hang on here. Let me get back to where I was. Where was I? I don't know where I was. I was during the break. I'm opening more stories because I had a little computer issue right before we got started. Everything just kind of ground to a halt, and I just got this little spinning beach ball on my Mac, and it's telling me, "Oh, wait, I'm working on it. Hold on. Wait." So I had to open the rest of the stories we'll be talking about during that break, and so I was distracted. But I'm always distracted, right? Okay. Big story broke yesterday. The spy court has admitted that the FISA warrants against Carter Page were not valid. This guy has been through the ringer, literally been through the ringer, because of lies. Authority granted to the federal government to secretly wiretap and spy on former Trump affiliate Carter Page was not valid. The nation's top spy court noted in a secret ruling penned earlier this month, the order from the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court, which was created and authorized by the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, was initially signed and issued on January 7, 2020, but was not declassified and released until yesterday afternoon. Judge James Boasberg, the current federal judge presiding over the FISA court, wrote in his order that at least two of the four FISA applications against Carter Page were unlawfully authorized. Additionally, according to his order, the Department of Justice similarly concluded following the release of a sprawling investigative report on the matter by the agency's inspector general that the government did not have probable cause that Page was acting as an agent of a foreign power. The FISA law states that American citizens cannot be secretly spied on by the U.S. government absent probable cause, based on valid evidence that an American is unlawfully acting as a foreign agent. Quote, DOJ assesses that with respect to the applications in docket numbers 17-375 and 17-679, if not earlier, there was insufficient predication to establish probable cause to believe that Carter Page was acting as an agent of a foreign power. So wrote Boasberg. He goes on to say, the court understands the government to have concluded, in view of the material misstatements and omissions, that the court's authorization in docket numbers 17-375 and 17-769 were not valid. Boasberg's ruling noted that DOJ had not yet taken a position on the lawfulness of the first two applications against Page, but was currently collecting information to assess whether those two spy applications were also invalid. The invalid applications specified by Boasberg were dated April 7th and June 29th of 2017. The false and invalid April 7th application was personally signed by James Comey, while the false and invalid June 29 application was signed by Andrew McCabe. Both men were referred for criminal prosecution by the Inspector General. Former Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein, who was alleged to have offered to wear a wire against President Donald Trump, also signed off on false June 29 FISA warrant, the false June 29 FISA warrant against Page. The FISA court order also noted that it is a federal crime for any federal official to intentionally disclose or use information obtained under color of law by electronic surveillance, knowing or having any reason to know that the information was obtained through electronic surveillance not authorized by law. Wow. The following sentence of Boasberg's ruling is redacted, raising questions about whether the government used any information obtained pursuant to the now invalid Page surveillance warrants in other cases. The final warrant against Page overlapped with former special counsel Robert Mueller's investigation of Russian interference in the 2016 election. The final three-month authorization to spy on Page was signed nearly 6 weeks after Mueller was appointed, meaning that Mueller may have had real-time access to and utilized nearly 5 months' worth of surveillance of Page during the course of Mueller's investigation. If his office used any of the information in subsequent cases, the declaration that the final two spy warrants against Page were invalid could potentially nullify previous or future convictions sought by Mueller's office. Surveillance under FISA is not limited to the individual targeted, as the government also surveils individuals with whom the target communicates, and individuals with whom those individuals communicate. That process is called the two-hop rule, and allows the government to spy on and collect information and communications from individuals who are 2 degrees separated from the actual surveillance target. Therefore, even if Page never personally spoke to Trump on the phone, the government could still eavesdrop on Trump's conversations if Page spoke to someone who had spoken to or electronically communicated with the president. It is not known whether the government used the two-hop process on Page to sweep up information from former Trump campaign manager Paul Manafort, former White House National Security Advisor Michael Flynn, or even the president himself. In his January 7 order, Boasberg directed DOJ to retain and sequester all information and evidence relevant to both the Carter Page applications, the Inspector General investigations of FISA abuse, and any additional DOJ investigations related to or spawned by the Inspector General's report. Boasberg told the DOJ to provide all of the required information to the FISA court no later than January 28. So, we now know. The chickens are coming home to roost. That the behavior of the Obama DOJ was illegal. That they were spying on people they had no business spying on. Because their applications for the permission to do the spying were improper and they knew it. This is the behavior of a progressive administration. Taking advantage of every tiny little detail in regulations in order to reach beyond the scope of what they should actually be doing. It remains to be seen how this will play out, because you and I both know that when it comes to the government, they protect themselves and they protect their own. We have seen so many examples of wrongdoing, of bad behavior on the part of government officials. And then, for some reason, it all disappears. We don't hear anything else about it. It goes away. Those people still work for the government years later. So it remains to be seen. Will enough people be up in arms about this to contact their representatives, their senators, and demand that things be done, that the law come down hard on these people, I hope so. Because the reason we have the trouble we have in government in the United States now is because people aren't paying attention. They haven't been paying attention. They just glance at the evening news. They say, oh, that guy, he's still working for us. That's good. And when they hear about trouble, they get all of their information from skewed sources. So they don't really know what's really going on. And they would prefer to keep it that way. No, I just got this, you know, that's all kind of blurry and fuzzy over there. I'd really not focus on it because I the game's on. Or I'd rather not. No, can we just talk about, hey, did you see that movie? The one that came out this week? Oh, it's awesome. Don't you think? Who cares about that other stuff? We're too busy being entertained to pay attention to what's truly important. Please don't get me wrong. Entertainment's a wonderful thing, but it has its place. And when it takes the place of paying attention to what's truly important in our society, then we need to recognize that we have an issue, that we need to push back, we need to push away, we need to get focused on what really matters, because when people in government do things like this, when they skirt around the rules and nudge, nudge, wink, wink, say no more, I'm gonna get this done, when they do things by hook or crook, we all suffer in the end. All of us do. Especially the people who put their blind trust in those who are misbehaving. Because eventually, that blind trust will be repaid with higher taxes, harder living conditions. And if we're not all very, very careful, complete government control of every aspect of life. And they've already proven they're incompetent and incapable of managing even themselves. We have to pay attention, or more people like Carter Page will suffer, and more people like you and I will be paying the price as well. More after the break, when the Daily Perspective continues.
America.
Welcome back to the Daily Perspective. This Friday edition, January 24th, 2020. Mark Congleton here, you're there. Princess Kimber, the studio dog, is not with me today. So we've just got it to ourselves. My wife is off work today, so the dog is staying with her. I'm really looking forward to this weekend. I don't know about you, but this weekend is overdue. I really need a good weekend. A good weekend away. It's doing something different than the usual. You know what I mean? I think we all need that from time to time. We all need that from time to time. Especially when the news is overwhelmed with stuff we just don't care about. And you and I, we're the kind of people who really pay attention to that sort of thing. Most people, they aren't. I mean, like I said the other day, if you go to an airport or go to some... Well, you go to the airports where CNN pays to have themselves on all the TVs. I don't know if you were aware of that, but CNN pays to be on the TVs in the airports. So they're buying an audience, a captive audience. If you look around, you'll see that most of the people there aren't paying attention to the TVs in the airport. They're looking at their mobile devices. Or they're talking. They're not watching what's on the television. Unless what's watching on the television is explosions or you know, something. Wow, a tornado just ripped something apart. Unless it's something like that, they're generally not paying attention to it. Like I said, their heads are down. They're in their mobile devices. They aren't paying attention to the news. Most people don't. And in a way, that's kind of a good thing. But in a way, it's really bad because people don't understand what's really going on. Now, I'm glad that in airports people aren't paying attention, because if they were, they'd be getting a very, very deeply skewed version of what's happening in America today. They wouldn't be getting reality. They'd be getting some fantasy cooked up by progressives. But you and I, we pay attention to this stuff. And from time to time, we've just got to unplug.
Woohoo!
Which hopefully is what will happen this weekend. Because if we don't unplug, then we have to think about stuff like this. Adam Schiff. Shifty Adam Schiff. He's claiming that if President Trump isn't removed from office by impeachment, Americans can't trust the results of the 2020 election. During opening arguments of the Senate's impeachment trial yesterday, lead House Manager Adam Schiff said that without impeachment, Americans would not be able to trust the outcome of the 2020 presidential election. Quote, "The House did not take this extraordinarily step lightly. Impeachment exists for cases in which the conduct of the president rises beyond mere policy disputes to be decided otherwise and without urgency at the ballot box." Schiff then accused President Trump of, quote, "an attempt to use the powers of the presidency to cheat in an election." In the dealings with Ukrainian officials described in the House's impeachment articles, he says, "For precisely this reason, the president's misconduct cannot be decided at the ballot box, for we cannot be assured that the vote will be fairly won. In corruptly using his office to gain a political advantage, in abusing the powers of that office in such a way to jeopardize our national security and the integrity of our elections, in obstructing the investigation into his own wrongdoing, the president has shown that he believes that he is above the law."
Wow.
To be honest, they're charging him with obstruction, and he has done really nothing that any other president being pushed by the opposition has done. And they had recourse. They could have gone to the courts. They could have gone to the courts and had the courts decide whether or not the president had to disclose certain things to them or not. They chose not to go to the courts. I saw a great thread on Twitter yesterday, which I have been trying to find since I saw it yesterday. And it's, you know how that goes in social media, things scroll by and it's almost impossible to find it. If you can remember who posted it, then you can have a better chance. And I was trying really hard to remember who posted it. And I've obviously gotten it wrong because I can't find it. But it was an imaginary conversation between two people. One person who is completely clueless about what's going on, and the other one is a progressive, a leftist, talking about all of the things that have happened. And as they explain each step that has happened, things that have gone on, the guy who hasn't been paying attention is like raising eyebrows like, wait a minute, they chose not to go to the courts. They could have gone to the courts and gotten this information, but they didn't. That was one of the things brought up. And that's the case. They didn't take these things to the courts. And they've been admonished by liberal legal experts that they're doing the wrong thing and that they're abusing their power. But they keep pushing forward because they know they can make their case in the court of public opinion. Because in the court of public opinion, the jury's not really paying attention unless you make a sensational argument. And that's exactly what Adam Schiff was doing in front of the Senate. He was making a sensational argument, which is why the pundits and the leftists in the press all praised him for doing a magnificent job. He was making a sensational argument, and the news media loves that because the news media is all about sensationalism. It drives up viewership. It drives up numbers. It drives up ad revenue. They love a good sensational argument. Last month, the House approved two articles of impeachment against President Trump, one accusing him of abusing the power of his office with the suspension of military aid to Ukraine in order to pressure the Ukrainian government to investigate former Vice President Joe Biden and his son Hunter's business dealings in Ukraine, and the other accusing him of obstructing Congress's investigation into the former matter. Now, first, there was no... Ukraine didn't know that the military aid had been suspended to begin with. So there was no, hey, if you don't do this, we're not giving you the money. That didn't exist. It wasn't there. There was no pressure. Even the president of Ukraine has said, there was no pressure. There was no pressure because he didn't know the funds had been put on hold. And the funds had been put on hold because our president campaigned in part on a principle of rooting out corruption and digging to the bottom of why we're in such bad deals with other countries. When you combine corruption and bad deals, you get the result we've had for years, especially with Ukraine, one of the top three most corrupt countries in the world. So this new president, Zelensky, had campaigned on draining his swamp, just like President Trump had. And Trump wanted to make sure this guy was the real deal. And after 50 days or so, he said all of his reports coming back were saying, this guy is for real. He's really doing this work. So we should release the funds to him. Funds he didn't even know were being postponed or held. He didn't know. There was no, hey, do this for me or I won't send you the money, as was the case with Joe Biden previously. It didn't happen. It was just, hey, we're going to look at this and see what it looks like. He doesn't know it's coming. He doesn't know it's not coming. So let's just hold off until we're sure. And in the case that this is all a lie and he's still as corrupt as the guy before him, then we'll deal with that and talk about withholding funds. But let's be sure. And when they were sure, they released the funds. They released the aid. They got the military help they needed. They got everything they needed. There was no quid pro quo. None. None. And as I already dealt with the obstructing Congress, Congress could have gone to the courts and didn't. So claiming obstruction over something they didn't complete is ridiculous. Schiff also pushed back on the idea that the House's obstruction claims, which stem from the White House's refusal to cooperate on providing witnesses and documents in the investigation, should be decided in the courts because the time necessary for litigation would provide the president with an opportunity to continue his misconduct. So he's saying the reason they didn't go to the courts is because they wanted to keep him from misbehaving anymore. Oh, no, no, that would take too long. We don't have time for that. Really? So this is just making excuses now. This is not real rationale. This is just making excuses and hoping that people aren't paying close enough attention to realize you're just making excuses. Elsewhere in his remarks, Schiff said that if Trump were not convicted by the Senate and removed from office over the impeachment articles, the abuse of his office and obstruction of Congress will permanently alter the balance of power among our branches of government. You know, that's sensational. The abuse of his office and obstruction of Congress will permanently alter the balance of power among our branches of government. That is another one of those sensational statements. It's not true, but doggone it, it sounds good. It's not true. He has not abused his office. There is absolutely no concrete anything that proves any kind of abuse of the office. He didn't obstruct Congress. He did what was within his authority as the chief executive of the United States, what any other president would have the authority to do. But he did it to progressive Democrats, and they don't like when you stand up to them. They just don't like it. They want you to bow down and kiss their ring and say, thank you, sir. Can I have another? Because the progressive Democrats are tyrants. And when you don't bow to them, they look for ways to destroy you. Schiff's remarks Wednesday about the legitimacy of the upcoming election echo comments he made in December when he said, the president's misconduct goes to the heart of whether we can conduct a free and fair election in 2020. So, this man who represents a party who has sworn again and again and again that there is not that the our elections are safe and secure and there's no way that they can be manipulated or mishandled, is now saying that our election can be manipulated and mishandled. Pick a lane, buddy. You can't really have it both ways. I know you want to. I know it would be convenient for you. It'd really help you out. But you can't have it both ways. He wants you to believe that unless they take out the president, somehow he's going to cheat and win this year. What?
It's a man, baby.
Welcome back to the Daily Perspective. Just doing the walk of life. It's the Friday, January 24th, 2020 edition of the podcast, heading off for a weekend, diving into the final segment of the day and of the week. And again, hoping you've got a great weekend ahead of you so you can unplug. And as I've said before, take some time this weekend and go to the quiet. Don't shy away from it. Just go be there for a while. Get away from everything, unplug, be alone with your thoughts, and deal with it. It's really, really important. Part of being honest with yourself and honest with life. And speaking of being honest with life, it seems like the Democrats in power in the House are incapable of doing so. Nancy Pelosi, for example, recently made the rounds claiming victory over Donald Trump, regardless of the outcome in the Senate, because Trump is now, quote, impeached for life or impeached forever. Well, a rather famous Harvard law professor, a guy by the name of Alan Dershowitz, says not so. According to Dershowitz, Nancy Pelosi doesn't understand what impeachment is. He says what she has said is even if the president is acquitted, the impeachment stands. No. That's like saying that if a person is indicted and the jury acquits 12 to 0 in 5 minutes, he's still indicted. No. Dershowitz will be presenting oral arguments at the Senate trial to address the constitutional arguments against impeachment and Trump's removal from office. In a recent statement regarding his role in the upcoming trial, Dershowitz described himself as nonpartisan when it comes to the Constitution, noting that he opposed the impeachment of President Bill Clinton and voted for Hillary Clinton. However, he believes the issues at stake go to the heart of our enduring Constitution. He says, if Pelosi maintains that impeachment is an end in and of itself, you need full due process. You need an adversarial system. You can't go and announce that he's been impeached and it'll be impeachment hanging over his head the rest of his life. Dershowitz believes the debate over witnesses is premature as well. He says, first, the Senate should decide, is there a case? If this were a criminal case, I'd be making a motion to dismiss. You do not need witnesses if my view prevails. You don't need documents. You get right to the vote and you acquit. He also addressed the issue of John Bolton's desire to testify and executive privilege. He said if John Bolton is dying to testify, that's not his decision. That is the president's decision. If Congress did not like it, they go to the courts. The court decides, and that's how the decision is resolved. Now, this takes us back to what Adam Schiff was saying in the previous segment when we talked about this obstruction of Congress. This is what obstruction of Congress, that charge, is based on. That the president makes this decision about who speaks, who appears, and who doesn't. It's under his purview. He has the authority to make that call. And Congress, if they don't like the call he makes, can go to the courts. That's how the system works. You take it before a court. You've seen this happen ever since Trump took office. He will sign something, enact something, and the progressives go crazy and they drag it through the court system. Until it finally hits the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court heaves a huge sigh and says, yeah, he can do that. It's in the Constitution. Next! But this is how the progressives work. The Democrats drag everything through the legal system, and that's the reason they kept stacking the legal system, the court system, with progressive judges during the Obama years. They kept putting progressive judges in place because they knew the system required them to use the courts to get what they wanted, the end results they wanted. And so Congress at this point has the option to go to the courts to resolve an issue. But here's the thing. The Democrats know they can't win this in the courts. The Democrats know their arguments don't hold up. The Democrats know they don't have a case. The Democrats know there's nothing there. They know this. But something they also know is the reason they keep doing this. They know that this is being tried not only before the House and the Senate, it's being tried in the court of public opinion. And what they care about is the court of public opinion. They want to sway public opinion against Donald Trump. They don't have a candidate who can defeat him at the polling places, so they have to defeat him in the court of public opinion. They have to sway enough people and make enough people think that voting for him in November of this year is a bad decision. They have to do that. They have to poison the well. They have to keep him from winning at any cost. My hope in all of this is that enough people are paying attention to see what's going on and to understand it for what it actually is. This happened during the Kavanaugh hearings. A lot of people watched what happened during the Kavanaugh hearings and said, I can't vote for these people again. They're crazy. A lot of people said, no, that ain't happening. Those people are nuts. And I'm hoping enough people are paying attention to realize that what's going on right now in Washington, D.C., in the Senate, the case that's been argued by the Democrats has so many holes in it it can't hold water, that there is nothing there to prosecute, and that the Democrats are desperate, so desperate that they would manipulate our government system in order to get what they want, and do so unashamedly in public during the light of day. Not just in back rooms, in basement meetings, in secret sessions, but out where God and everybody sees everything going on. If they keep behaving this way, my hope is that enough people will recognize them for the criminals they actually are. That for at least a generation, people will say, no, we don't vote for Democrats. Democrats are crazy. They're crooks. They're criminals. They have no morals. They'll do anything, literally anything, for power. And they will. They will. You remember that quote off the top of the program? It played. I've got those things mixed, so I don't really know what's coming. But in that particular quote, Trump was talking about how the Democrats are dangerous. They're not good for America. And he was absolutely correct in what he had to say. And he has been saying so for quite some time. And we need to be paying attention and realizing that the Democrats are desperate. and they're putting on, they've been putting on a show. Well, now the Republicans get the floor, and we get to see what they have to offer. And hopefully people will still be paying attention and not listening to the political pundits on the news networks, but actually paying attention and realizing that the Democrats are playing a dangerous political game. That's it for today and for this week. God bless you. Have a great weekend. We'll see you back here Monday for the next edition of the Daily Perspective. Bye-bye.
We'll knock off now and take the next 2 days off. How's that?